Welcome back to our podcast, section 11 of the Journal of a Lifetime.
So it's New Year's Eve, and I've invited some of my old baseball buddies over for an evening of laughs and cheers to celebrate the ball dropping style. It's sort of a pick-me-up I need, being away from the grind at work and my sleepless nights at home. It's good to have these boys around. They're the type of friends you never want to lose. These dudes are partly the reason why I never moved away from this place. Danny, Travis, and Ben and Timmy Whip have been around since we were 12, kicking dirt and chasing bullfrogs off our field. They were on my front porch when Grandpa, listening to his wacky stories from when he was a young boy, calling churches and pranking preachers, putting super glue on bleacher seats during Mitchell baseball games, and watching victims tear their pants trying to escape the glue. Those guys have always thought he had the best stories. It's a funny thing, those boys. They, too, never moved away from Mitchell. They're not so close by that I could hear their lawnmowers start up, but they're scattered about in such a way that a three-minute car ride brings me to a waiting high five. We all bust on each other, so it's hard to give them a heart-to-heart speech, but I love them. They're the best friends a guy could have. We spent some of New Year's Eve night popping bottle caps off our favorite beverages and starting to two-shambo tournament. That would be rock, paper, scissors to you, but you know the worst part of that game? Trying. It sets off an entire chain of events and strategy. Should both of you pull the trigger and throw out rock? Now, what do you do? Do you pull the dipsy do and double up on rock again, thinking you're throwing scissors? Or do you go away from all logic and toss paper, hoping they double up on rock? It's a really intense game. You wouldn't think it had strategy, but it totally messes with your mind. We can actually use that game method when no one wants to pick the food from the takeout. You lose, you drive. It's like truth or dare. You don't fulfill the dare, you get punished. And in this case, if you lose to Rochambeau, you don't honor your loss. You have to do 50 push-ups in your underwear in the street corner. Danny's a funny guy. We're sitting around in the living room watching the ball drop specials, sipping our drinks when he breaks into a story about him and a camel. As soon as he brought up the word camel, we all rolled our eyes. Danny's always had a fear of them, more so how they looked. He hates their bumps. They think they're riding human heads in there. In anthropology class, the teacher showed a video that covered ancient anthropology in Egypt. When a camel appeared on the TV, Danny fell out of his chair and ran out of the classroom. It's a true phobia. Camel scare phobia? Probably not, but you get the point. He's telling us that he was watching football at Crazy Wings and Things, which is the local sports bar on North Main Street. Tired of the long day at work he had, after a plateful of hot wings, he leaves and heads home on Park Drive after the game is over. He was falling asleep when he said he rolled the window down and stuck his head outside to let the cold air blast him in the face. After several minutes of ducking in and out of the car window trying to wake up, he picked up his slumping head to find that a camel was casually walking across the road. He screeches the car to a halt, puts the hazard light on, and tries fumbling for his digital camera with his nervous hands. He said he was so close enough to it that he could actually see its jaws moving side to side, like it was munching on something. The single humped creature just kept on strolling across the road, playing little to no mind at all to Daniel. We're thinking, yeah, right, a camel. There's no camels in South Dakota, but we were way wrong. Earlier that evening, and unbeknownst to Danny, the Mitchell Corn Palace had an exhibit going on that was showcasing dromedary camels. One apparently escaped. To much of Dan's nightmare, there was an appearing 10 meters from the hood of his car, a camel, on Park Drive. You couldn't make up a story like that. Danny said he pinched his arm and slapped his own face in an attempt to wake up. He was awake, and he was real. What are the chances the guy who's petrified of camels actually spots one in his hometown on the road he's traveling on? You can file that story into Grandpa's Story Hall of Fame. Thank you for listening to Section 11 of the Journal of a Lifetime. Tune in next time for Section 12.